You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to this little snippet of the Top Order podcast. We're going to talk about the MCC World Cricket Committee's law-making recommendations to the ICC. In this little snippet, we're going to talk about short pitch bowling and saliva, believe it or not. Stay tuned.
Listeners of the Top Order podcast will be well aware of getting the dreaded pair or having their bails trimmed from time to time at the crease. No one wants a dreaded pair or to lose out to a DRS. That's the downstairs rainforest situation. So it's more important than ever to look after your pair, whether you're on the field, in the club rooms, or down at the club. Now with manscaped.com, you'll never nick off, get caught in a slip, or have a dreaded pair again. While you're on their website, check out some of the other product names. Kudos to the marketing department. The boys and girls there have done absolutely top work. My wife and I had a read and it was classic stuff. We had us rolling in the aisles with laughter at some of the product names, and genuinely some good stuff on there as well. Everything to look after your upstairs and your downstairs. Keep it looking fresh and neat and tidy. You'll save 20% and get free shipping with the special code TOPORDER at checkout. You know how it works, chaps. Get over to manscaped.com and use TOPORDER for 20% off with free shipping on all their great products. At the end of the day, boys, a man's home is his castle, so look after the lawn around your castle with the Lawnmower 3.0 and range of quality accessories from manscaped.com. Good areas, boys.
We're going to talk some law changes now. So we're going to talk about short pitch bowling first. So, Baldy, over to you to give us an overview of what's being proposed, and then let's have a chat around our thoughts on all matters laws.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different proposals that have been bandied about as far as short pitch bowling is concerned. None of them in this article that I'm looking at here on the Crick Info site, but effectively the essence of it is, should we ban short pitch bowling to junior cricketers, so anyone under the age of 18, and should there be an additional restriction in open cricket for anyone batting in the bottom four, so 8, 9, 10 or 11? And that could potentially range from everything from club cricket all the way up to first class or test level, being additional restrictions in being imposed on bowlers bowling balls short or consistently short in the Neil Wagner area of your anatomy, sort of between the rib cage and your shoulder area, either consistently or even as a one-off to those different categories of cricketers, so juniors under 18, and also people batting in the bottom eight potentially as well. So the MCC has said in its committee that it's unanimous, however, in recognising short pitch bowling is a core part of the game, particularly at elite level. What do we think of these potential proposed changes that or possible changes to short pitch bowling being severely restricted in junior cricket and then possibly also in open age cricket as well for lower order players?
So I think it's a really, really difficult situation, because there's an emotional component to this conversation, because we've had some instances recently, obviously, Steve Smith, and obviously the tragic incident with Philip Hughes as well, not so far gone, certainly in all of our memory banks. I think if I kind of put a slightly different spin on it, it's a really difficult one, because as a kid growing up in England, we didn't play on wickets that really gave the seamer the opportunity to hit you in the head too often in underage cricket. And I got a rude awakening when I got to Australia to play grade cricket when I was 18. My first game got hit in the mouth, trying to decide that was a good time to start hooking off my nose. But look, I think the issue here is, I understand why they're making that suggestion, but it's going to be relatively subjective, isn't it, in terms of looking at particular levels of cricket, looking at potentially protecting tail-end batsmen, but then what happens when, you know, a tail-end batsman, you know, starts to smash it all over the place? Or, you know, what's the situation then? Are you allowed to go to it when he's 80 not out? Or, you know, do you have to keep pitching it up and watch it disappear over the mid-wicket fence? So I think there's going to be all those kind of conversations going on. And then I think I don't want to sort of hark back to the, you know, the older players that talk about the fact that the modern players don't play the short ball as well because they've got the helmet and they've got protection. But they'll all go back and say that, you know, they didn't get hit as often because they had to watch the ball. And I just wonder whether or not this might create more of a problem as you move forward if you haven't had to even contemplate dealing with it as you play age group cricket. So look, really, really difficult. Wouldn't want to be making this call whatsoever, because there's clearly that safety piece. And, you know, when you look at your kids playing rugby now, it's so regulated around, you know, the weight of kids that are allowed to play in the front row and all those kind of things. You know, cricket's got to take some of those strides as well if parents are going to actually let their kids play the game. But really, really difficult to know what the answer is.
Raj, as a top order batter, what's your view on these potential rule changes at a junior level and again at a senior cricket level?
So I guess I'm very much off the fence. I think it's a poor decision to ban the short pitched bowling. I guess there's a few layers to this onion that Binksy has unpeeled there. The first one I want to look at is the junior cricket. I think banning it there is actually the last place you want to ban it. That's where you learn how to play the fast ball, the fast short ball, and you learn the correct technique for playing that short pitch bowling. You get out of the way of it. You hook it, like Binksy said, or you get out of the way of it. The other one that I wanted to point out was when we're talking about tailenders, Binksy's completely right. How do you identify who's a tailender? Sure, that's easier to do it in test match cricket. Well, how do you do that on a Saturday when you're playing a team you don't know?
Well, I can just harken back to that last club match that I played in which, you know, there were a couple of really good top six batsmen that, by virtue of the fact they didn't play in the first week of the game, ended up playing it and batting at 8 or 9 in the second week. And we went from, you know, 70 for 4 to 260 all out by virtue of those guys coming in being legitimate replacement players and batting in that bottom order.
Did you get a bat in that ball, Dave?
We'll swiftly move on to issues more important and more relevant. But what do you do about a guy like Mo Ali, who bats at 8 for England, who's got multiple test centuries? What do you do about a guy like Ravi Ashwin, who's got a test century in this series, batting at 8? If you couldn't bowl him a bouncer, he's going to score millions of runs, you know, as will a whole bunch of well-credentialed lower order batsmen that are running around in test cricket at the moment. I understand the safety aspect of it, but, and it's an interesting perspective you've got there, Raj, that when you're a junior cricketer, that's where you learn to play your shots and learn defensive techniques and how to deal with those kinds of balls. Stuart, what's your view? I mean, you batted in the lower order like I do. What's your view on short pitch bowling here and potential changes to the law?
I would have certainly been a much better cricketer, batter, if I'd never had to face short pitch bowling. It was definitely not a strength of mine, but I just think it's way too hard to police, right? I mean, what do you do? You know, you guys mentioned all the players that legitimately bat there. Why can't Michael Bevan, you know, someone like that who notoriously was said to struggle with the short ball, what's to stop him batting 8 in test cricket? Mm. Or, you know, why can't you? You could just manipulate this so many different ways, and I just don't see how they can do it.
And it's really interesting that you raise that, because there already is, as I understand it, in the laws of cricket, a way for the umpires to call out bowling that is repeatedly intimidatory and dangerous to the batsman. And so the umpires already have a framework in which they can make that decision, right? We're talking about stronger mandates or some kind of quantitative-based mandates for that, because the umpires already have that within their discretionary power.
Can you ever recall that being used, Baldy?
I can't. I can't ever recall it being used in first-class or international cricket. I imagine that occasionally a very, very strong-willed senior umpire will have pulled that out in a club game where, you know, a batsman maybe like me, you know, is getting roughed up, and it's actually proving dangerous to that batsman's health. And I can imagine that could potentially happen in maybe in a club game, but I don't think that would happen at first class cricket, not certainly in my memory.
It happened in the 80, geez, my poor here that I don't know the exact year. It's 85, 86, where Hadley got all the 15 wickets at the Gabba and things, where it happened in that game where in a ridiculous way, where I think it was Lance Cairns or Martin Snead or someone who just was not a scary fast bowler was bowling to, I think, the 10 or 11 for Australia, and bowled a bouncer, nicked him off actually, and it was given not out because of, you know, predatory short bowling.
Dodgy Australian umpiring, surely.
But I think, you know, back on the realistic point there, I think you're totally right, Baldy. That's the answer. When the umpires just have to have the mandate to actually use the rules that are in there, because you touched on the safety piece before, Binksy. I mean, Chris Martin, you don't want Brett Lee running in and bowling six bounces in a row at Chris Martin, because he actually isn't equipped to defend himself in those situations.
He should be, though.
Well, I agree. I guess the answer is he can have one pitched at him, and if Brett Lee is running in and not trying to actually get him out, like if he runs in and bowls five Yorkers and Chris Martin keeps them all out, then sure, you bowl a short pitch ball. But I don't think that, you know, break his F and arm, which doesn't refer to Chris Martin.
That was Jimmy Anderson, I think.
But, you know, I don't think you want to be in those situations where actually someone is going out with a mandate to injure someone who doesn't have that thing. But, you know, on how you do it, I don't know how, because everything that you do is going to be so subjective.
So one of the things that's just sort of running through my mind is the rugby analogy, where they do have a grade that's based on weight, don't they? I think it's under 85 kilograms or something like that. And that's primarily a safety concern. So, you know, I wonder whether or not you're actually going to have two grades of recreational cricket if you were to police this properly, and one where you're saying, hey, it, you know, in this your averages are going to be a bit higher, and you know, you're chatting the bar and your ability to really go out on the circuit is going to be a lot better, because you're going to get to smash loads of half volleys around. And the other is the tough stuff, is the stuff where that is allowable. But yeah, then how does that sort of make its way into, you know, the elite game, I think is the question.
Why aren't we just talking about making the equipment better? Why aren't we just talking about making helmets that, you know, ensure that people don't get hit? I know you made the point, Binksy and Raj, that if people have helmets, then potentially they're not playing the short ball as well as they could be. But, that you know, then they're not good cricketers. You know, they don't have the ability to score runs all around the ground. Why aren't we just working on making helmets as safe as possible so that this doesn't happen?
I think the only way we could be safer is if we commission Robert Downey Jr. to make an Iron Man suit, because seriously, I think that the protection is there. If you're getting hit in the back of the head, I know that we've had examples very recent where it has happened, but something's gone wrong in that situation. That something has gone wrong. I feel like I'm not sure why we are talking about this. And from the perspective I'm coming from, are we talking about making sure that everybody is safe, or are we talking about getting people more involved in the game? Do we see this as a barrier to people playing the game?
I think that cricket authorities are front-footing the possibility of injury or significant injury to young cricketers as a result of an impact to the head. And we've seen a trend in a lot of contact sports where prolonged and repeated head injury has resulted in really, really bad mental health outcomes and brain injury outcomes. I think cricket are trying to get ahead of that. Cricket is a very different game, though, where you aren't struck on the head very often. But when you are, it's a very, very high impact, high energy collision. You know, there's not a lot of weight behind a cricket ball, but it is moving incredibly quickly, far, far quicker than a rugby league player, even a good one, can travel. And it is effectively a missile that's striking you. So I think that's why cricketers are trying to get ahead of this potential problem. Whether or not we're going too far by banning all short pitch bowling at a junior level, it remains to be seen, particularly if helmets, as far as I'm aware, in Australia and New Zealand are mandatory for all cricketers, all batsmen, all wicketkeepers standing up to the stump. So there's definitely the protection element there. I think cricket is opening the conversation to, are we going far enough? Let's move on to...
Just one other question. So if we're going down this line, surely, Stu, you can never bowl with a short leg either.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. How can you ever put a man in close? Yeah, there are just so many elements to this. And, you know, I completely agree, Baldy, on the safety element. And concussion is no joke. You know, it's a brain injury. It's a legitimate brain injury that causes a huge amount of problems for people in their in later life. And, you know, at the time, we've seen that many, many times. But I don't really see a solution other than making things as safe as possible with, you know, while the head injury is going, or while the short pitch bowling is still going on.
Let's move on quickly. Let's talk about a quick one. Permanent ban on the use of saliva on the ball. So the cricket committee is also debating whether or not to permanently ban the use of saliva, and it will consult current players before making a ruling at a later stage on whether or not we're allowed to ever use saliva to polish the ball again, or it will be sweat only. Binksy, your thoughts on that?
I have no strong opinion one way or the other.
Yeah, has there been any thought, like any actual evidence on whether it's made any difference?
Well, I don't think there's been a tremendous amount of difference in terms of the outcomes on the field. I mean, we certainly haven't seen the ball swing prodigiously less in test matches. You only have to look at the Melbourne test match, and there was swing and seam movement there. So I don't think that there's been a prodigious lack of seam movement. Certainly no one's really commented on that, have they, Adam?
Not a Jimmy Anderson whinge about it, so I reckon it must be all right.
Yeah. So the MCC said it would consult current players on the no saliva ruling before making a law change, but it's entirely possible that we will see that become a permanent part of the cricketing laws. Raj?
No, not required.
Not required? Not required. What's next?
I prefer the other option where they're allowed to do whatever they want with the ball.
Get
the bottle caps, get the sandpaper, get the hair gel,
the polish.
That's crazy.
On board. I'm on board with that. Get the zinc out.
Brill cream.
I love it.
All right. So we have a 4-hour debate on a pitch, but and then we all become flippant when it comes to the cricket ball. All right. Fair enough.
Yep. Play on Ahmedabad. And with a ball that you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, you can turn it into the shape of a square, can you?
Oh, no, it's got to be circular.
Bowl a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah,
it's got to be circular.
It's got to fit through that little contraption that the umpires have. As long as it can do that, you can do whatever you want.
The problem with bowling me a Rubik's Cube, Binksy, is it'll take me 17 hours while I'm standing at the other end trying to figure out how to put it back together again before I'm allowed to play a shot.
What would the umpires do if they didn't get to put the ball through that circle?
Thanks for tuning in to the Top Order podcast. Before you disappear from our feed, if you're a new listener, please do go and check out the back catalogue. We've spoken recently to New Zealand coach Gary Stead. We've got Graham Thorpe. We've got Shane Deets. We've got Barry Richards, Shane Bond, Colin Miller, all in the back catalogue. You can find the details www.thetoporderpodcast.com. We're the Top Order podcast on Instagram, although we're still really figuring that out. We're at Top Order Pod on Facebook and Twitter, so don't be shy to jump on, give our tweets a share or a retweet, and we'll see you next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.